Welcome to our Painesville Assembly of God podcast. Our desire is to connect people to a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If this message touches your heart, we'd love to hear about it. Email us at info@painesvilleag.com or visit painesvilleag.com. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to your faith.
Oh, what a week, huh? And you know what? On top of that, we are in some unsteady times in our nation, aren't we? The economy continues to be a concern. The prices of products and groceries, as I'm sure, and other things increases, and joblessness goes up, and finances, some are struggling financially. Earlier this week, there was a big thing with the, that happened in the stock market, and maybe you were affected by that. I'm not sure. There's a lot of things that can happen, and maybe perhaps some of you, and I just think the Lord was in this, as Jeff and Shelley had shared, maybe some of you are just feeling over these last 4 years, over this last year, whatever it is, like you're at the end of your rope. Anybody feeling like you're at the end of the rope? That's a phrase, that being at the end of the rope. What do you do when you feel at that point? Well, I read something. The realist says, well, just tie a knot and hang on. Tie a knot, hang on as long as you can. The pessimist says, well, you might as well let go because it's only going to get worse. That's the pessimist. The optimist says, well, just tie another knot and keep on climbing, right? Each of these have merits, but the reality is, what do you do when you're at the end of the rope? Some of you are in that place today. You've walked in here this morning, you're exhausted, you are at the end, you're beneath it, you've maybe exhausted resources, you don't know what you're going to do. There are just some things that are happening. What do you do when you're facing problems with your children that you can't solve? What do you do when your marriage is on the rocks and things just keep crashing, waves of emotion and hopelessness that just seem unrelenting? What do you do when there's problems at work and there seems like there's no way out? What do you do when you have too much month left at the end of the month, right? Too much month left at the end of your money, I'm sorry. What do you do when you followed loved one's body to the graveyard and you cannot escape the loneliness and the grief and the pain that continues to linger in your heart? What do you do when your heart is broken, when your dreams are shattered, when your hopes have been dashed to bits on the cruel rocks of reality? What do you do when you're walking through a spiritual wasteland and there seems to be no way out? Today I want to speak to that. Today I want to speak to that. Today I want to speak to you if you are feeling like you are running on empty, to use another analogy. If you feel like there's just no more gas left in the tank. If you feel like, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm just feeling as if my life is on empty. We're going to look at a story today in 2 Kings chapter 4. And in that story, there is a woman who was at the end. She had experienced grief in her life. She had experienced death and pain in her life. She had experienced some things in her family. And she didn't feel like she had anything left. And so we're going to take a look at her story today because she was running on emptiness. But what we find is that God showed up. God showed up. And in the place of her need, God provided. And here's what this passage is going to teach us. This is the amazing truth I want you to hang on to today. God has a plan for your problem. God has a plan for your problem. I want you to participate, look at your neighbor, turn and tell somebody, God has a plan for my problem. Tell somebody, God has a plan for my problem. Come on. 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 1 opens it up. It says this, now the wife of one of the sons of the prophet cried to Elisha. We're in this series on Elisha, right? The prophet, Elisha. And this is what she said. She cried out to the prophet Elisha. She said, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, but the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves. Your servant, my husband, died. and I'm at the end. I have no more money. I got nothing financially. The creditor is coming, and now he's coming to take my boys away to be his slaves, to pay off this debt. I'm at the end of my rope. I'm on empty. I got nothing left. I don't know what to do. Have you ever been in a place where you needed to cry out to the Lord because you were in a place where there was emptiness? You were in a place where you had nothing left. It just seemed like one problem after another. This woman faced four problems that I see. There was despair in her family. The word cried means to moan and to weep uncontrollably, to shriek out in grief. This is not just somebody coming and saying, you know, I got a problem. She was crying. She was moaning. She was shrieking out in grief. It identifies a broken heart. Maybe this morning you have a broken heart. There's brokenness in your heart. You're just wondering. You're at your lowest moment of your life. She seems to be at the lowest moment of her life when she comes to the man of God. Second, there was death in her family. She was married to one of the sons of the prophets. Somebody maybe that was training under Elisha. There were prophets who were in training under Elisha. It could have been one of the prophets training under Elisha. Others think that other commentaries say it could have been Obadiah from the times back when Elijah was there. And a guy by the name of Obadiah, a prophet, had other prophets he was taking care of, which could have meant that was why she was in debt, because he was taking care of other prophets. Whatever it was, this is somebody who had been in the school of the prophets, who was serving the Lord, but didn't have a whole lot of resources, and he died. There was death in her family. Her protector, her provider had been taken away, and she was not just heartbroken, but she was also broken by the despair and the pain that she experienced. You ever lost somebody you love, and maybe you have to walk through grief? It's not easy to walk through grief, is it? It's hard. There was debt in her family. Since her husband is dead, she can't pay the bills. In the culture in which they live, women were not able to work. There wasn't a lot of opportunities for them to provide for themselves. That's what they came under the covering of their husband for, or they lived with their parents and they had the covering of their father or their family. Her covering had left. Her the one who had provided the income and the source had left, and it left her at risk. And because of that, she was unable to pay her bills. And in that day and age, according to Leviticus chapter 25, 39, You in order to pay back, you could sell your kids into slavery. They would work off the debt. She was in that place where not only did she lose her husband, but now she was about to lose her sons because the creditor was coming and she couldn't pay her bills. But there was also devotion in her family. The problem and the trouble she was facing was not a result of any disobedience. We looked at a story last week with the three kings and the king of Israel who had disobeyed the Lord, and the prophet Elisha had to kind of challenge him a little bit. He was in a place he was in because he had not consulted the Lord. But this is not the case in this situation. She and her husband were devoted to the Lord. There was devotion to them. You know your husband. You know that your servant, my husband, feared the Lord. There was fear of the Lord. There are times when we go through things, and perhaps even for some of you this week, there are times you're serving the Lord, but you still go through things. You go through difficult things. You go through death and grief. You go through despair. You go through times where it seems like there's a season where they're like, where did all the money go? I don't know where it is. There's oftentimes emotional deficits that we experience in our lives. And it's not always because of disobedience or because we've done something wrong. Life is just hard and painful sometimes. How many would agree with that? That's the place where this widow found herself in. And here's the reason why I like this text from 2 Kings chapter 4. I love it, not just because what we see, what God is about to do, and the miracle that God's about to do, and we learn how God can meet that need, but I love something else that happens if you really look at the surrounding context and the stories that kind of hug this, the stories that where this story is kind of sandwiched between two other stories. Last week, we looked at Elisha the prophet. He's being consulted by three kings, right? And that's what prophets did politically. Oftentimes, they would have an audience with the king of influence, and sometimes they would challenge that king to come back to the Lord, or the king would consult, what does the Lord say for us to do? And last week, we saw that Elisha had an audience with three kings, right? And if you look at the story that follows, this one with the widow who has lost her husband, the one that follows is of a wealthy woman who invites Elisha and prepares a room in her home when he comes into her home. She's a wealthy woman. You might think that she's a woman that had money. She might have been a donor, a provider. So you got a wealthy woman on one side, and you've got kings on the other side. But sandwiched in between is that Elisha, and really the Lord, takes a moment to get personal with someone whose life seems pretty insignificant, a widow who had lost her husband, was about to lose her children, and yet what we see is God takes a moment and He cares. He cares for this woman. You might be feeling this morning, you know what? Does God really care about me? Does He even know my name? Does He even care about me personally? I'm a nobody that has any importance whatsoever. Let me tell you something. God cares about you as much as He cared about the kings and what was going on there. And as much as He cared about the wealthy donor, He cares about you. God cares for you. God cares for you. Well, I thought there'd be more amens than that. Well, let's take a look at the story. Because God, if you're in a place of deficit, if you're in a place of emptiness, if you're in a place where you're at the end of your rope, where you feel like you got nothing, then I want to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage you this morning because we're going to take a look at what God did. Here's the miracle that God did. Here it is, 2 Kings 4, 2 through 7. She comes to them, she cries out, she shares the need. Here's how Elisha responds. And Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in the house?" And she said, "Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go outside and borrow vessels from all your neighbors. Empty the vessels and not a few. Empty vessels and not a few. Then go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons and pour it into all these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside." And so she went from him and she shut the door behind herself and her sons, and as she poured, they brought the vessel to her. And when the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another." And then the oil stopped flowing. And she came and she told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest." You can live on the rest. Come on. Come on. God meets her need in a miraculous way, in a miraculous way. But this is not just something that God did for her. This is something where she had to have a lesson, where she had to learn how to walk with God to receive the miracle that God wanted to do in her life. She had to walk with God to do the miracle in her life. I want to talk to you about some steps, three steps to receiving your provision today. Three steps to receiving your provision. If you're in need of provision today, three steps for receiving your provision today. Number one, adjust your perspective. Adjust your perspective. When she comes to the prophet Elisha, she shares her need, and he doesn't just give her money to pay her debts. He doesn't tell her to go back home, and the Lord will take care of it. No, he asked her an important question. Let's go back to verse 2 for a moment. And Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in the house?" And she said, "Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Now, let me tell you the question for a moment. What do you have in the house? What do you have in the house? And what's her response? What's her first response? "I have nothing. I have nothing." That's where some of you are at today. If I said to you, "What do you have?" You say, "I have nothing. I told you, I've come in, I have nothing. I have nothing." He says, "What do you have in the house?" I have nothing. She's like, "Elisha, maybe you need to back it up a moment. I came to you and I told you the creditors are coming, okay? The creditors are coming. The creditors are coming. If I had something, I'd put it up on eBay for sale. I'd hold a garage sale. I got nothing. I don't know how I'm going to pay these debts. I got nothing except a small jar of oil. Elisha then tells her, go around and ask your neighbors for empty jars. And I'm sure at this point she's thinking, I don't think this guy is hearing me. I mean, you ever thought maybe God's not listening? Or maybe you're talking to somebody and you think God's not listening? Some of you wives here are thinking, that's a man thing. He's just not listening to her. Right? Her husband, he's not listening to her. She's telling him the need. She says, I got nothing. He says, go accept the jar of oil. We'll go get some empty vessels. What do you mean get some empty vessels? I don't need empty vessels. I need full vessels, right? Because what do you, if I go grab some empty vessels, what is, I got nothing to pour in, nothing. I mean, what? I don't have anything to pour in. I need full vessels. I don't need empty vessels, right? I got nothing. What do you have? You got nothing. Can I tell you something? Just stay with me a moment. She says, I don't need jars. I need oil. I'm broke. I don't need something to put nothing in. Here's the thing. Do you? Stay with me a moment. Perhaps something, there is something to offer God, and that is our empty vessels. God wants you to offer your emptiness. Think about it. Genesis chapter 1. How does it begin in verse 1? And the earth was formless and void. Void. Nothing. Darkness was over the face of the deep. Right? Genesis chapter 1, nothing. What does God tell us? Without form and void. What was the first thing he did? He formed it before he filled it. God formed it before he filled it. Don't say you have nothing. There's something. There's something. Don't say you have nothing. There's something. She had a perspective, her instinct, what do you have in the house, was to say nothing. It was to minimize what she had. And all too often, many times when we're in a situation where we are desperate, we're in a situation where at the end of our rope, all we can see is what we don't have, and we can't see what we do have. All we can see is the empty. All we can see, I don't have it. I don't have enough. I can't. I don't have. All we can see is what we don't have. And the prophet says, no. What do you got in the house? You got to change your perspective. What do you got in the house? I got a little oil. There we go. Now we got something to work with. All too often, we got to change our perspective. I got a little bit of oil. Listen, Elisha had the power to do a lot of things, including the power to raise the dead. Yet he responded by turning to her and saying, What do you have? When you've lived in a deficit long enough, you don't oftentimes appreciate the supply that God has already given you. And that's where Thanksgiving comes in, right? She didn't think her little was enough worth mentioning. Friends, your little is worth mentioning. God has given you your little because he wants to show you that he can multiply your little. He can multiply your little. And he's about to do something through that, through what she didn't even want to mention, she didn't even think was important. God was about to do something important through what she didn't think was important. The first step to receiving your provision of God is to change your perspective. Stop looking at your lack and start taking inventory of what God has given you. It might seem small and insignificant. As I said, this was a widow, but this story is sandwiched between two stories to say, listen, God doesn't care about just what you think is significant or what this world thinks is significant. God cares about the insignificant. God seems about the insignificant. It may seem small and insignificant to you, but it was the pathway to the miracle that God wants to do in your life. Your insignificance is the pathway of what God wants to do in your life. Maybe you can't see the gifts you possess. When we did this dedication, I read from the Psalm, from David in Psalm 139, where he talks about being knit together. Listen, you have been knit together. God has given you gifts. Don't minimize your gifts. Don't minimize what God has given to you. Don't minimize it. God may want to use your gifts. He may want to use what he's given you. Don't minimize that. It may be the faithfulness. God's just looking for the faithfulness that'll open up a greater door. Don't minimize what God has already provided you with. In John chapter 6, there's a large crowd that came to Jesus to hear him teach. It was getting late. And it was dinner time. And you got about 5,000, the count of the men, 5,000 men, a lot more when you talk about the women and the children and the families. And Jesus asked a question to test his disciples. John 6, 5 and 6. Then Jesus, when he looked up, saw the large crowd was coming to him, said to Philip, "Where can we buy bread so these people may eat?" And then parentheses, it says, now Jesus said this to test him, test Philip, for he knew what he was going to do. How many know Jesus already knows what he's going to do? He's already got the provision planned out. But he asked the question to test Philip. Philip, we got to feed these people. All right? And Philip does what we do. He minimizes. He looks at the reality of the situation, and the reality is the reality. And he looks at lack, and he says, "Let him 200." I mean, he replied, 200 silver coins worth of bread would not be enough for each of them, for each one to get a little. Like, even if we had 200, of silver, we would only have enough for everybody to just have a little bit. Like, we have a lack. Like, we don't have much. There is nothing that we have. But thank God for Andrew. Andrew had at least a little bit of faith, or at least a little bit of something, because Andrew then says this in verse 8 and 9. Here's a boy who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but he also has a little bit of a insignificant. But what good are these for so many people? You see, insignificant, right? Minimizing what we have. Minimizing the little we have. What? Hey, we have this, but what good is it? But friends, listen, in the hands of Jesus, what do we know from John chapter 6? That little bit ended up feeding that 5,000 plus with 12 basketfuls left over, because God doesn't want us to minimize the little we have, because he can do miracles and miraculous through the little if we will begin to change our perspective and say, "God, I'm at the end of my rope. I don't have a lot, but let me take some inventory. Here's the little I have. Use it. Here's the little I have. Will you use it?" Number two, don't limit God. Don't limit God. 2 Kings 4, 3 through 6. Then he said, "Go outside and borrow vessels from all your neighbors. Empty vessels, not a few. Then go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons and pour into all these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside." So she went from him, shut the door behind herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. I want to pause right there for a moment. Again, there were some steps of faith that the widow needed to do. When she began to recognize and own and speak, "I have a little bit of oil." And the prophet said, "Good, that's something we can work with. All right, you got a little bit of oil. Okay, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go to your neighbors, and I want you to borrow some vessels, empty vessels. Oh, by the way, not just a few. All right, go borrow some vessels, empty vessels, not just a few. And then you take the oil you have and you start pouring it in those vessels." "Wait a minute, I got to go borrow empty vessels, but I got a little bit of oil." "I don't care. Go borrow the empty vessels, not a few." "Well, how many are we supposed to get?" "Just not a few." Right? So they went around, they start borrowing. "Can I have a vessel? You got any empty vessels in the house? You got any empty vessels in the house? Can I borrow some? What do you need those for?" "I don't know. I got a little bit of oil, but the prophet told me to go do it, so I'm just doing it. I don't understand it, but I'm just going to do it. I don't understand it, but I'm just going to do it." She had to go borrow the vessels. Listen, the miracle and the provision that she received would be in accordance with the vessels that she collected. Right? Right? Listen, the only limit was the amount of vessels. Because as we read in the story, as she fills it up, she asks for another one. "We don't have another one," and the oil stopped. Listen, the provision, don't limit God. Don't limit God. The provision for this widow was only limited by the amount of vessels that she borrowed. And the vessels that she borrowed were in accordance with the faith that she had to take the prophet's word and to do what he had told her to do, to take the word of God and do what you're supposed to do. Listen, don't limit God. God has provision for you. Every mountain, every need that you have, every problem, God can solve that problem. His provision is not limited by anything except our faith. God stands ready to give you all that you need if you'll make room for him in your life. No more room, no less. Last week we talked about digging ditches, right? digging ditches, right? He told the kings, listen, the water's going to come. It's not going to come from the rain or the wind. We saw the rain and the wind this week. It's not going to come from the rain or the wind. It's going to come up from the ground. So guess what? In order to provide, in order to get ready, you need to dig some ditches. Listen, you need to go collect some vessels. Go collect some vessels. Let me tell you a story. Two men went down to a lake one morning to do some trout fishing. Anybody like to do some fishing? They went down in the morning to do some trout fishing. They stayed there all day. One man had a little bit of a strange thing he used to do when he'd fish, he'd pull the fish in, and then he'd take out, he had a ruler about yay long, and he would measure the fish against the ruler, and if the fish was bigger than the ruler, he'd throw it back. And all day, that was the thing he would do. He'd measure it. Anything that measured inside the ruler or the length of the ruler, he'd keep. Anything larger than the ruler, he'd throw it back. And finally, at the end of the day, his friend just said, you know, I've been watching you all day. This is a strange thing. Usually everybody keeps the big fish. You just measure it. You throw the big ones back. You're keeping all the small fish. Why are you doing that? That's a weird thing for you to do. Why are you doing that? I don't understand. And the man said, well, I only have an 8-inch frying pan. Some of you are limiting God because you keep operating like you only got an 8-inch frying pan. So God wants to keep bringing more provision, but you keep limiting God because you refuse to go out and buy a bigger frying pan. You won't enlarge your faith. Your obedience only goes so far. So your blessing only goes so far. Because blessing is in accordance with your obedience. Some of you are limited what God wants to do in your life, in your family, in your finances, because you refuse to change your perspective. You just keep limiting God. Time to get a bigger frying pan. Principle number three, use what you have. Use what you have. The widow had to be willing to pour out the little oil that she had. He says, what do you have? What'd she say? I have nothing except the jar of oil. Go get empty vessels and start pouring. Oh, wait a minute. That's all I got. I got a little oil. What do you mean I got to start pouring? What do you mean I got to start pouring? What do you mean I got to start pouring? Yeah. In order for you to receive the miracle that's coming, you got to start pouring out. You got to start letting go. You've got to start giving. You've got to start using. You've got to start using it. You got to start using it. Some of you have been hanging on. You see, yeah, because there is something that happens when you start to face deficit in your life, whatever it is. Maybe we won't talk financially first. We'll talk emotionally. How about that? You get hurt. You're afraid to trust again. You start holding back emotionally. You start holding back emotionally because you're trying to protect. Yet the very thing you need because you're feeling lonely is to be able to open up. But you can't open up because you keep hanging on. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you, but you got to be willing to open up and trust him and let go. Financially, there are some of you, you've lived at a deficit, you're afraid of lack. And when you're afraid of lack, you keep hanging on. And God says, no, I want you to give. See that person in need? I want you to give. But wait a minute, I don't have enough for myself. Listen, go ahead and give and watch what I do. I don't think I can. 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 Listen, sometimes we don't receive the blessing because we're not willing to let go of what we're hanging on to because we're afraid we're not going to have enough for ourselves. Listen. God has more than enough to provide for you. He wants you to put it in his hands and stop keeping it in your hands. Stop hanging on to it in your hands. The oil represents joy and gladness, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside. Listen. It's not just something you keep inside. It's not just something you keep in your pantry. The gifts that God has given you, you've got to release for him. God has given you gifts. There are some of you in this room. God has given you gifts. He wants you to use your gifts to serve him. You've used your gifts and they benefited you and your family. They made you successful. But God says, what are you doing for my church? What are you doing for my kingdom? Right? We got to learn how to not see our deficiency, but to learn how to give and trust the Lord. When God gave us something, it's not nothing. When God gives you something, it's not nothing. She felt like her jar of oil was insignificant. She said, I have nothing. Listen, don't say I have nothing. Don't say I have nothing. God has given you something. And he's wanting you to entrust him with it. He's wanting you to give it to something, to release it, to give it to him, to entrust it with him, to pour it out to him. And if you want to see God's provision in your life, you've got to be willing to begin to give as God has given to you. Your gifts and your time and your finances and your talents and your creativity and whatever else is in your house, whatever else is in your hands, you say, God, here it is. And you begin to watch as God begins to provide. As you begin to pour it out, you begin to pour it out. God begins to pour it into you. God begins to pour it into you. I'm going to close. Worship team, will you come? A construction crew was building a new road in a rural area. They were knocking down some trees as they progressed, and a superintendent noticed that one tree had a bird's nest in it and had some little birds that couldn't yet fly away. And so he had some compassion. He marked that tree and said, don't knock that tree down. So they continued around and they didn't cut that tree down. Several weeks later, the superintendent came back to that tree. He got a little bucket truck and he was lifted up so he could look into the nest. To his surprise, he discovered that all the little fledglings, all the little birdies were gone. They had all flew away. So he said, wow, this is great. So he ordered then that tree to be cut down. The birds had flown away. And as they cut the tree down, it came down with a crash. And all of a sudden in the air the nest came apart, and there were little slivers of paper. You know how birds go and collect whatever they can to make their nest, little slivers of newspaper. And one of them that kind of caught his attention, he went down, he picked the little scrap of paper up, and on it said these words. It was from an old Sunday school bulletin. It said these words, he careth for you. He careth for you. Friends, are you at the end of your rope today? Do you have some empty vessels? Maybe your life is empty. Maybe you're in a place where you're like, I got nothing left. I'm running on empty emotionally. My mental health is struggling. I'm struggling financially. Maybe there's some things happening physically. You're just worn down and you are just at the end. You're just at the end of your rope. Can I encourage you today that God wants to fill you up. God wants to meet your need. Why? Because he cares for you. He cares for you. He cares for you. Just like that widow, God cares for you. Just like that widow, God cares for you. She came crying out. She was in a place of despair. She was in a place of grief. She had lost her husband. She was on the verge of losing her kids. The creditor was coming. She didn't know what to do. She came crying out to the prophet, and she felt like she had nothing. What do you have in your house? Nothing. And he says, that's not true. What do you have in your house? I have a jar of oil. He goes, good. We can work with that. We can work with that. So guess what? Don't limit me. Go gather all the vessels, not a few, and start pouring and start pouring. Start giving what you have. Start pouring. Start pouring. And watch as I meet your need. Watch as I meet your need. And not just meet your need that you pay off the creditors, but you have enough to live on the rest. Listen, God wants to meet your need this morning. God wants to meet your need this morning. God wants to meet your need this morning. Let's bow our heads right now. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I'm at the end of my rope. I'm coming. This message, I mean, that's I came in this morning. I didn't know what I was going to do. There was that message on rest, and then there's this, and man, God must be speaking to me. Yes, he is. God cares for you. God cares for you. You say, I'm at the end of my rope, Pastor. I'm at the end of my rope. I'm at the end of my rope. I need the Lord to do a miracle in my life. I need the Lord. I need his provision. I need his filling in my life. I need some oil in my life. I need his Holy Spirit in my life. If that's you, will you slip up your hand this morning? Come on. I'm at the end. I just need it. I need God. I need God to do something in me. I need God to do something in me. Yeah. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Father, you see those whose hands are raised right now. And Father, I just pray that you would begin to help them see what you have given them. Lord, some of them are hurting, they're grieving. Others, Father, are just tapped out. They need your strength. Lord, I just pray that you would begin to speak and show what it is, God, that you have given. Lord, I just pray that you would begin to do a miracle. I pray, Father, for an increase of faith, not to limit what you want to do. I pray, God, for the steps of faith to be able to walk in obedience, to be able to give and pour out and say, this is what I have. Here you are, Lord. I put it in your hands. Here you are, Lord. I put it in your hands. Here it is. Here are my empty vessels, God. Here are my empty vessels, God. Won't you fill it up? Won't you fill it up? Won't you fill it up? Father, I just pray you'd fill and meet the need right now. Meet the needs right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you're encouraged by this message. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, visit PainesvilleAG.com.